Commission. This is the public hearing part of our process. This is Monday, May 10th, 2010. Mr. Coxey, if you'll please establish a quorum.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Jim Bronner.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
And while we're there, Ms. Martin's our newest member of the Planning and Zoning Board. Tonight's her first time, so y'all go easy on her. Carl Pride.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do, 100%. Again, Mr. Cox, if you'll establish the meeting procedures for the public hearing.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code book is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. And the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment at their discretion. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed, and the regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The project will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting, however, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case is heard.
Okay. Let me remind those of you in the audience that if you wish to speak on the bill majors concern, make sure you have signed the sign-up sheet. And may I have the sign-up sheet then? Okay. So the only public hearing on the agenda this evening is the bill majors project on Highway 160. So, Mr. Cox, if you'll please read the staff report.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Division 3 staff report for Bill and Kelly Majors, dated May 10, 2010, case number 10-7. This is the public hearing for Bill and Kelly Majors at 13159 State Highway 160 in the Swan Township. The applicant requests approval to construct four commercial buildings. History is that it was approved for concept April 1, 2010, but before that, the Taney County Commission granted an emergency waiver in February of 2010, to allow the project to begin construction until the Division 3 process can be completed by the Planning Commission. General description of the subject property is located between State Highway 160 and State Highway H. The adjoining properties to the request consist of commercial, agricultural, and residential. Review of the proposed site will consist of a used car facility with a shop area, tire store, and light repair facility, a motorcycle sales and repair facility. The use of the final building, which will be the fourth building in this complex, will be determined at a later date. The project scored a plus 20 out of a possible 81 on the checklist. Items receiving a negative score were waste disposal services, utilities, screening waste, screening and waste containers, and traffic. Summary: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code to include plans for the following: A, sediment and erosion control; B, stormwater management; C, land grading permits; D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain; E, utility easements and building line setbacks; F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts; and G, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the Fire, Sewer, and Water District. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number four, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And number five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire.
Okay.
Let me see. There's a lot to tell you on this project. Of course, as you know, this project did receive an emergency waiver from the Elected Commission back in February. There's some compliance letters that I don't know that we necessarily have just at this particular time, because the project has not been approved yet.
Okay. Can you please go into the circumstances that cause the emergency waiver?
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like the horse is out of the barn.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In February, I was driving down Highway 160 and saw a culvert going in along the highway there, which is a under the jurisdiction of MoDOT, of course, stopped to see what was going on, and talked to an individual there, and he said, "Well, we're planning on building some buildings out here, for some different things, some commercial." And I said, "Well, there's going to be some permits and processes necessary to go through." And as happens many times in Taney County, we were instructed by others that no permits were necessary because we're not in the city limits or anything. I went back and sent letters out to the property owner of record at that particular time, not knowing that the property had been sold. Sent those out. That property owner immediately took that to the person he'd sold, I guess it would be Mr. Majors, the property to, and informed him, and Mr. Majors came into our office. We started through the process, and Mr. Majors informed me that he had some buildings coming that were going to be on the ground pretty soon, and right behind those buildings were some equipment that was going to need to be stored in those buildings or something. And asked if there's anything that could be done, because I informed him that would be at least a 60-day process, and depending on when you get your application in, it can actually stretch almost to 90 days if you happen to miss the deadline. So informed him there was the possibility, or he already knew, I don't remember which, of an emergency waiver, but that would be a request that had to be made to the elected commissions, which he did. We then went with him, Mr. Majors, before the commission. They heard the process, explained what they were doing and what the provision was for, that the process would still have to be completed in the event that this board chose to disallow the project, and they had completed their list of appeals or whatever and still had a no, that the ground would have to be returned back to its original state. Mm-hmm. So they are operating under that premise. So they got their emergency waiver, applied for their construction permits, went through the regular process with that, posted the properties, and then Dan did issue those construction permits. Did have their land grading permit, of course not necessary to have any kind of approval for any kind of a project to get a land grading permit. Anybody can get one of those if they're going to disturb land, as long as they don't come out of the ground, before they get their other permits. So, did all that. There is one other problem you probably need to be aware of. The poster that we use when we post properties, if you remember last month as we switched to 6 o'clock, there was an issue, some letters that went out and everything like that, and with some wrong times on it, everything like that. The poster that we use to post the property does have automatically printed on there 7 o'clock for the meeting tonight. However, the posting in the newspaper did say 6, and the letters that went out to the homeowners or the property owners in the area, if I'm not mistaken, did say 6 o'clock also.
And how many are we required to do?
One.
One of those three?
One, yes, sir.
But we did all three?
Yes, sir.
And again, do you have any idea the number of letters that went out notifying people of the public hearing?
I can tell you that in just a second.
That many?
Yeah.
So about 30, 34?
Some of these are the same people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Well, some of these are multiple people. Okay, 28.
Okay, and our assumption again is that the people who are here know that it was at 6 o'clock.
I would say they do.
Okay, and...
But there may be some people walk in at 7.
Okay, okay.
I wouldn't think so. Most people don't actually stop and read the sign. Although
because we just changed the meeting time.
Yes, we did.
And this is now one month
and
through the meeting time
change.
We're
still working out a few bugs there and everything, but I did want to make sure that you were aware of that possibility.
Okay.
Let's see. So I guess we're ready to look at some...
Video.
Okay. And some things here to bring up to scale here. Of course, this is the property here, Highway H. The lumber company, I believe Tanco, if I'm not mistaken, is right down in this area here, and this is going to occur. A little white house here, and if I'm not mistaken, the intention is that will be bought here in the near future, they can tell you. There is this parcel here, which is a separate parcel and thing, was bought about the same time by a church, and they wanted me to make sure that you knew they weren't tied in with this group. Nor did they buy the property from this group or anything like that, or didn't split off of this or anything like that, but this is the property they bought. They want to make sure that you're aware of that. So anyway, the building that we're looking at now is going into this area right here. You remember from concept that there is going to be a residence built back in this area somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. And then their intention is to buy some more property down through here. What else you got there? And of course, just another close-up there. as we discussed last time, and this is the general layout of how the property would exist when it's all done. This building is up. This building is up. I believe this one is started. I don't know how far along it is, everything like that. But so that will be the four buildings out there as they go along. So, okay. You got a video?
Got a video.
There's everybody on television.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different video right there.
So it's not that. So,
no, put it on 80.
Is it that?
Is that
a little thing?
Is that this one?
I don't know. It's not that. I just sat here for a long time, so you have time to read it. That 7 o'clock is right in this area here, so that you'd be aware.
Right.
Has that been changed yet?
It will be changed in the future as we put out signs, but no, sir. We have about 700 of those.
Have a black magic mark.
We will mark that out every time we go.
And when was this shot?
This was shot 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, because they didn't have the glass in the front of it. It was shot after the concept hearing, because we never got the concept. Okay. I'm going to drive you around to the back, so get ready. Benita's filming now, so don't blame this on me.
She did a great
job. I wonder
if
it's high quality.
That's a good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Benita. Thanks for taking the camera away from me.
Keep your mind off where we're driving. Dan, pause it a second. Actually, can you go back just a little bit? I need to tell you one more thing here. Yes, you can, huh? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we're all right. You should have asked.
Well, there's a couple things the sewer district has asked me to tell you about while we're here. I'll start with that because I want you to see.
Get ready to pause them.
Mike Cole came to me. No, we don't do that one. That's a BOA. They don't want to see that. The system, the septic system out here.
Here we go.
Okay. When we come up right along here, Dan, on this house,
But the little house is not under consideration tonight.
Right here. I want you to see this. Can you see that? Yeah. There?
There's been significant terracing.
Yes, there has. Uh-huh. This was the lateral lines for the septic system of the house. Mm-hmm. And as they dug, it did get into that. And the sewer district has been out there, and they have relocated and reinstalled new lateral lines. I believe in the front of that. Mike Cole wanted me to make sure that y'all were aware of that, that they have been on top of that, they have seen that. And it is going to be a temporary situation, although it meets their codes and everything like that. Also, because it's this septic out there, you're all aware of that, this is an engineered system. Mike explained to me it gravity feeds into a holding tank and then it disperses on a pretty regular basis. You'll probably hear, we've had some people say there's sinkholes and everything out here like that. Mike wanted me to tell you guys that the soil evaluation was done by a state certified soil of a person that does that, whatever you do. And he said that he made no mention, even when he called him back the second time to question about that, of any kind of sinkholes or anything like that, and that this system does meet meet the requirements that they had, and that most of the system is in place at this particular time, lateral lines, everything like that. Mike has watched that go in and everything like that, so he wanted to make sure I just let you know that. Okay, thank you. I wanted you to see, in case you saw that pipe, I wanted you to know that. When we drove out there, I told Benita, I said, septic line there. And sure enough, it was. This is around the back side. We're just going to take you back here to see, so you can kind of see what's going on here to look at the property.
See, well, you're driving. I mean, you're driving for being jumpy.
That's the driver, right? Here.
Yeah,
she's right next to you. I mean, I understand what
she's saying. She tries to hold on and then do that. And, you know.
Looks like the IT department got the other problem fixed, though.
No, actually, we're playing out the band's computer.
Oh.
And it is a program. It's something they're still looking into, but we have been trying to get that fixed. And it's a bigger issue than I think they're going to be able to fix for us. We may have to change our equipment. That's probably about good, Dan. It just goes around the other side that you see, so unless you need to see more. So otherwise, I think that's basically the story you have, and we can get into what.
Okay, Dan, if you would go back to the original site. One more. That one. Okay. So we're really concerned because the development is on the very front part right there. So we are not concerned about future development as far as residential property. And at this particular point, that's all they're talking about is a residential.
As you know, our code book does require buffering where this business adjoins residential tracts. Right now, that would be here. Possibly, if there's anything right there. This is a church here. It's not really going to extend back this far.
Okay.
They did, during the concept meeting, offer to go ahead and put a fence and everything in out there for you guys. I didn't know if you were going to set it off the line 30 feet or back or what the case might be. We instructed them that they probably need to wait, but they do understand that there will be some kind of a buffering fence or whatever required. Although they are going to buy this in the future, they don't own that at this particular time.
Yeah, we can't assume.
Right. Okay. Say everything can go okay. Haywire.
And there is no access onto H as things are currently planned.
Not
right
for
now.
This, no ma'am. This is all going to, you know, they've got a MoDOT approved entrance there with their culvert and everything.
Okay.
So that's where that exists, and that's the only entrance.
And where is Mr. Majors? Okay. Are you feeling lonely tonight? I want to make sure that everybody understands the necessity of the emergency waiver issued by the county commissioners, okay? And if I can paraphrase again, remember, ignorance is no excuse for the law. Perhaps you have heard that within the last month or so. And here it is again, okay. So the reason or the rationale for the emergency waiver is that you did not realize that you had to get a permit.
No, ma'am.
Okay. And that you had buildings ordered, and I remember when you went through the concept, you said you had some very expensive equipment for the tire operation that needed to be undercover. So you were concerned about that kind of thing.
The lion's share of it's actually in the tire shop now.
Right, okay. So that was the rationale for the emergency waiver, or the emergency permit, I guess, is really what it was. So you, once that horse is on its way, you are still going through the process and run the risk of having the project denied. I just want to make sure that that's where we are. There are several people who have asked to speak. I would ask you to come forward, introduce yourselves, and then give us your point of view. Mr. John Price.
Good Good evening, members of the commission. My name is John Price. I'm an attorney with the Carnahan Evans, Cantwell and Brown firm in Springfield and Branson. And I represent Larry and Heather McCaig, who live directly across U.S. 160 from this property at 13114 U.S. Highway 160. I think the commission has an understanding of how this process transpired, but let me just give you what I believe are the correct relevant dates. On February 25th, a Division 3 concept application was filed. It does not appear from the copy of the file that I obtained that had any of the supporting documentation that's required by the regulations. My clients live right across the street and have advised me that, and they know this date because of the hospitalization of their daughter on March 1st. The construction started prior to March 1st, and I believe Mr. Coxey has indicated that he was out driving along and saw construction underway and stopped to advise or stopped to inquire and later by letter or however advised the owner that they were going to need a permit. So there's no question that that construction had actually started here before any permit was granted. The emergency waiver was filed on March the 3rd. And on the document itself, it indicates that there's going to be a meeting time of March the 5th. On March 11th, a Division 3 permit application was filed. On March 15th, a Division 2 permit application was filed. And that permit was issued on April the 1st of 2010. Also on March 15th, a land disturbance permit application was filed. The emergency waiver procedure that occurred here, it is our position that that procedure is unlawful under both state law and under your own regulations.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes.
That statement you just made.
It is our position that the emergency waiver procedure, whereby construction was allowed to proceed before either a Division 2 or 3 permit was granted, is illegal under both Missouri state law and under this commission's own regulations.
Thank you.
I first want to direct your attention to several Missouri statutes. Taney County is a political subdivision of the state of Missouri. Taney County, the County Commission, and this Planning and Zoning Commission have only the powers and the authorities that the legislature has specifically granted to you. And Chapter 64.800 and the series of statutes after that are the statutes that control county planning and zoning in Missouri. I've got several of these sections. I'll give you the numbers, and you can perhaps ask your county council to look at this. But Section 64.860 gives the county commission certain powers with regard to planning and zoning. And essentially, it says that the county commission can provide for the manner in which the zoning regulations, zoning restrictions, and the boundaries of zoning districts can be determined, established, and enforced, and how you amend or supplement those regulations. All right. Nothing in that statute gives the county commission the power or the authority to grant any sort of emergency waiver. Those terms are never used in the statute. Section 64.863 says, after the adoption of a zoning plan or regulations by a county, no use of any parcel of land included within the plan or regulations shall be changed without a public hearing. That statute says nothing about any procedure allowing a waiver or an emergency waiver to allow construction to begin before a public hearing. Section 64.865 provides for Mr. Coxey's job. It says that any county commission that has established zoning must appoint a zoning officer, an enforcement officer. And after the appointment of that officer, no building or structure shall be erected or constructed, nor shall the use of any land be changed without a permit issued by that officer. No reference anywhere to an emergency waiver. And then finally, Section 64.870 provides for the Board of Adjustment. And it grants the Board of Adjustment specific powers, one of which is the power to grant a variance from zoning regulations. But the statute provides very specifically what the conditions for such a variance would be. And it refers to the exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property. It doesn't allow even the Board of Adjustment to grant any variance because the owner has mistakenly ordered his equipment or his building package too soon. So there is nothing in the state statutes that would allow the county commission to grant an emergency waiver of your zoning laws. And this commission can only follow these state statutes. I've read your development guidance code, and there are several provisions that are important here. The very first sentence in your code says that the Planning Commission hereby orders that no plat of a subdivision shall be recorded, no building or other structure shall be erected or constructed, nor shall the use of any land be changed without a permit issued pursuant to these codes. Nowhere in this code is there any mention of an emergency waiver procedure. It simply doesn't exist. I don't know where it came from, who came up with the idea, but it is unlawful under state law and under your own regulations. Section 4.1.2 of your code, talking about Division 2 permits, says that a Division 2 permit is required for any new commercial use of a property that has been issued a Division 3 permit. So the procedure is you get your Division 3 permit, then you get your Division 2 permit. Just the opposite has happened here. So I think it's my belief that the Division 2 permit, which has already been granted, is unlawful under your own regulations. I see no option that this commission has but to deny this application because it has been pursued through an unlawful procedure where construction has been essentially countenanced by the county commission in violation of state law, in violation of your own development code.
Okay, Mr. Price, do you have a summary statement then so we can move on to some of the other people that...
I do have just a couple of other points that I do want to make. And I guess the question then is... That you might ask yourselves is, well, so what? It's already been built. Now what do we do? And the problem is, A, the landowner went ahead and built it knowing full well that if he didn't get his permit, he'd have to return the land to its previous state. So I think you've already pointed that out. Ignorance of the law is no excuse here. But secondly, all of these folks have been denied the proper procedure to pursue their interests. Across the road are a whole series of residential properties. All of these folks that are here tonight are people that own residences in the vicinity of this project, and they were not enabled to come to the commission at the proper stage and can, you know, and air their complaints that noise, and they can tell you about the construction noise that they're experiencing every morning at 5 a.m. The light that this project will emit into a bunch of residential properties is an issue. Mostly, it's not compatible with the existing land uses that are right around it. The nearest commercial properties are to the west down the road, a greenhouse, which really has very little impact on residential properties, and back up at the corner of H and 160. There are obviously commercial properties there. So these folks have legitimate concerns about their property values, about the impacts of this project on their lives and their properties as they go forward. I would simply just ask those that are in opposition to this tonight to stand up.
Everybody opposed, please stand up.
If we may move on then, Mr. Price.
I have three one-sentence points I'd like to make.
Okay.
It is our understanding, and Mr. McCaig spoke to the MDNR today, that this project did disturb more than 1 acre, and there's no record in your files, nor is there any record at MDNR from the people that Mr. McCaig spoke to today that an MDNR land disturbance permit was ever issued for this project. There's an erosion control plan which provides for silt fence all the way around the north and the west side of the project, and I certainly didn't see it in the video. So they're not being good neighbors at this point. Mr. McCaig has photographs of stormwater running across under the culvert onto his property that is laden with silt, leaving big silt deposits and causing erosion on his property. I think there's also an issue about site distances for their entrance. Your regulations at Appendix L, Section 7.2.1, provide that for a property like this, you need 700 feet in both directions for site distance. And we don't believe that they've got it. I don't think anybody's checked it.
In response to that, sir, it's a MoDOT road, so their regulations are a little different than ours.
Well, I don't think, though, the way your regulations read that if MDNR gave them, allowed greater distances, I think that would control. But since yours are more stringent than MDNR's, I think since yours are more lenient than MoDOT's, I think yours control in this situation.
Okay, and your third statement, Mr. Price?
Pardon me?
You said you had three one-sentence statements.
That's it.
Before you leave, Mr. Price.
Okay.
He was talking about compatibility. When I pull up the record for Mr. McCaig, who's your client, if I'm not mistaken, it says that he's running a business out of his home.
I believe he has an internet business that he runs from the interior of his home.
It's on the assessor's database that he's running a business out of the home, which is something I'm checking into, but...
Okay, if we can still go back to your third statement.
Yes, sir.
And do you have a third statement?
I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't number them.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I'm finished.
So
the three.
So we have your issues that you have laid before us.
Okay. Yes.
So, Mr. Price, thank you very much.
All right.
Let's move on to the other people that have signed up to speak. Mr. McCaig.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Hi, my name is Larry McCaig. I do live across the street, and I do have lots of concerns, and I think my lawyer, represented them. Just to clear up the records, though, we do run an internet business. We have no walk-in traffic whatsoever. If anybody would like to come down to my property and look at what I'm doing in the back, I'm trying to save my property. I got mostly rocks. I got water running off coming from over them, and it's running, washing out all my land. So I'm building up rocks and making terraces and building dirt behind the terrace to salvage my property. So if you'd like to come down there and think I'm disturbing the property and making some commercial use out of it, please come down there and look, and you'll see nothing but gardens. Okay.
Just direct towards us.
Okay. Well, I was being accused of something that I didn't do. I mean, I'm trying to make gardens to feed my family and save my property. And I have an issue with the water that's running off their property and cutting down through my property and washing all my topsoil away. And now it's going to have pollutants in it. It's going to have oil and grease and everything else you can think of from a tire shop, a motorcycle shop, and everything else. So
can I ask you a question? Was that runoff happening any time before the construction started?
It's gotten worse since the construction started.
So the question was this, so it was happening before the construction started?
Well, yeah, there's a ditch on both sides, so I have runoff from my own side that I have to deal with.
You're on, am I understanding you're on the opposite side of the road?
Yes, and there's a culvert right there that goes from their driveway to my driveway. And the culvert's going downhill like that.
So I can,
Mr. Keg, you had that culvert kind of blocked at one time, didn't you?
No, never blocked it. You can go look at it if you like.
No, I'm not saying
it's there's a laser up there so he can point with the laser exactly.
Yeah, there's a pointer up there. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's got a red button on it. It's up there.
Oh, okay.
And everything, you can grab that and point. Show where you live. I believe that's it.
Right here. Mm-hmm. And right there where that A is, right there, there's a culvert. Okay, and it fills up and it runs the water right down the property line between my neighbor and I and cuts a path right down through there. But right there is a culvert and it goes right across to the other property.
Okay, so it's just pouring in from the other side.
It's pouring in from the other side.
Okay, Mr. Bacade, any other comments?
No, I think my lawyer, I want everybody else to speak, so I'm not going to.
Is that the house where the fireworks stands at?
We've been out of the fireworks business for years.
That's the one that I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was a two-week-a-year business.
Yeah, well, that's a whole totally different deal anyway. That's
and we've got all of our permits for you guys.
I just was trying to place it to make sure I had the right place.
Okay. Anything else? Any questions?
Okay, Mr. Scott Gilman.
Scott Gilman. Mm-hmm. I live also directly across from the project.
Show the laser.
Right here.
Okay.
Excuse me. I think Mr. Price has talked about most concerns that everybody in the room has. Certainly, I don't think anybody has any hard feelings to the majors or anybody on their project. It's not a personal thing. It's more about doing the right thing along the way. I'm sure they're very nice people. I'll probably see them at the video store, at a ball game, something like that. For me, it's nothing personal. However, at the same time, there are the issues that everybody would like addressed. I think most people are worried about their wells in the area, as there is no county, fix for that problem. I mean, most people are on a well, septic. For me, that's one of my major issues. Living right across the street, traffic, certain things like that. I do have a hard time with the permit issue. Some time ago, I wanted to build the kids a small bus stop by the road. During the wet weather, they have to stand out there and wait for the bus. During the cold, they have to stand out in the cold, snow, sleet, whatever, waiting on the bus. I was told when I had called the county, planning and zoning, I had to be a certain number of feet off the highway. I don't remember what the square footage it had to be. Building something like that for the kids, if I didn't do it a certain way, I couldn't do it. And nobody told me, that there was going to be another process I could do, And I don't know. It's one of those things I have a hard time thinking in my head. We used to live in the city of Forsyth. You have to have a permit in the city of Forsyth to have a garage sale, which I have a hard time with. So for somebody to build something commercially and not to know that they need a permit, no matter where they're at, I have a hard time understanding. I'm not calling anybody liars, calling anybody out, but it's just hard for me to fathom that somebody doesn't understand those particular rules for an area. So,
okay, Mr. Gilman.
Yes, ma'am.
situation, because it doesn't have to be a certain distance off because of the...
There's, again, that may have been a MoDOT issue. There's certain setbacks that need to be met by MoDOT.
Right. So, well, and I understood them. Well, I sort of did, because my neighbor, his house is closer to the road than I wanted the... Well, but I know that's probably grandfathered. I understand that.
I have property on 160.
But it's just something, here, but it's, you know, and I know of somebody around the corner that had to have a carport removed from the road because it was too close or they didn't have a permit or something. Right. So this whole process to me is, I don't know, skewed, or it's just a little different than what I've been a part of or been privy to. So,
okay. But Scott, I did have one question.
Well, could we move on?
I just want to ask him one quick question.
Sure. Okay.
About the runoff. Are you having problems on your property from the runoff?
I can't say 100% either way.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
like I say, we share a property line, okay, and we have tried to deal with that particular runoff. So
that's all I want to know.
Sure.
Thanks.
Let's move on and probably not carry on debates over some of these issues. Let's make sure all the issues come out. Which reminds me that if you have additional information, I mean, we know the issues, so we've heard the issues. Let me move on to Mr. Ordell Michaud. I probably mutilated that.
Nope, you did a very good job. Most people do. Yeah, I'm Ordell Michaud. You call me Dale. I live in the Dogwood Hollow, and my main concern, like I say, is I have a wet water creek that runs most of the year if there's any moisture at all. I'm just really concerned about pollutants running down and getting into the well association over there. I mean, there's several houses on that one well. I'm just very concerned about the pollutions that could come.
Okay, and
could
your
come.
Property is where?
It's in Dogwood Hollow, where I'm not sure exactly where it is on this map here. I believe it's right, in here. So it'd be right in here. Yeah, it's on the other side of the hollow. So it's right over in here behind the VFW, but the water all runs through that shelf rock down, and it's always running most of the year. Yeah, right there, you see it, Dogwood, right there. It's this association right here. And like I say, all the water runs this way down the through the shelf rock, and it runs most of the year through there. Just concerned about the well.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Carol Coistra? How'd I do on that one?
Coistra. Uh-huh. I take care of the well in Dogwood Hollow. And we have seven of us on that well. And I think it was just terrible that we were not notified. We didn't know anything about this till we got the letter the other day, which is not the way to do things. You first get the permits, and you first do these things, and then you build. And if you're going to let one person do it, you have to let other people do it. And I don't think it's fair to us. But anyway, we live back there. And do you know, we had seven people on this well, and I was the only one notified that there was
a meeting. Where is your property specifically? Because
right there by Dogwood Hollow. And that water is going to come.
Okay, but we need to know, we notify people at, what is it, 600 feet within
right
the property lines. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of times those go to note holders.
Okay, but what's the DNR? And the owners, none of the owners were notified.
They may have been beyond the 600-foot limit. That's what we're saying here.
There's a lot of reasons why they...
Okay.
But okay, our well is going to be affected by this. Did anybody have DNR check it out? No, nothing was done. This was just given them, this land, and I've never seen anything come up so fast in my life. And I never did see those posts set, because posting that they said they'd had up there, I drove past there a lot. And I drove past there different times, and there was no signs up there that I could find. I didn't know what they were doing. And after I got this letter, I also made a point of it, and I didn't find them. And I think this is not fair to the people.
Okay, and now you're talking about the posting from
the
county commission.
Well, and of course you saw that film.
Yes, but when did you put them up? Because I didn't see it.
We put up after the concept hearing. Mm-hmm.
And I think that if they're going to do something, you should let all the neighbors know, everybody know, that we should have a right to fight it before it's done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to comment on that just because it's not... In any case that we're trying to be secretive, we have to notify one of three ways,
sir.
A posting on the property,
okay.
Something in the newspaper,
okay.
Or letters going out to neighbors up to 600 feet.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Property owners within 600 feet.
Property owners within 600 feet. One of those three.
That's correct.
And we generally do...
All three.
All three. So, and it was in the paper?
Yes, sir.
It was posted on the property?
Saw that there.
And we sent it out to property owners 600 feet. That doesn't necessarily mean it went to their mailbox. It might have went to the...
Who pays the taxes. Where they were sent, yes, sir.
I mean, if the bank pays your taxes for you, sometimes it goes there and places. I mean, we've had that issue before. Because that comes up a lot. What she said comes up a lot. So it's...
Okay. Anyway. Scott Puckett.
All right. My name's Scott Puckett. And I live right there. In that property right pretty much behind where they're doing the buildings. I know for a fact... that there is an entrance off of H Highway in which they have a two-year option to buy, which would put another entrance into this location. So are they going to be allowed to do these four buildings? Or are they going to be allowed to fill that whole acreage full of junk cars? You know, a used car lot usually leads to junk cars. Most of them do. You know, and I do have the runoff. Mine's not running across the street. It's going to be running down the hill. So that's our main concern, is we got one way of drinking. If it gets contaminated, you know, what are we going to do? And that's what everybody else on that hillside's thinking as well. And I've been in business for quite a while. And anybody that does anything knows that there needs to be a permit. So, you know, it's common sense. But... you see that concrete slab sitting there, that's a building that I built for my cars, my vehicles. I went to the Light and Power Company. We've got a main power line that feeds through the dam, goes to the dam that feeds through there. I went and talked to them. I wasn't able to put my building where I wanted to. I moved it over because that was the rules. And rules should be rules. So I moved my building. I built my building. You know, we don't know what we're going to see when we look out our front window from now on. You know, you can put up a fence, but where's the fence going to be?
Mr. Puckett, the land immediately is grazing land. Is there cattle on that land right,
there was
right below your house?
There was cattle there. They've taken the cattle off. Okay. It's growing up. They've taken the secondary fence down, and it's all growing up. You know, and that's our concern, is what are they going to put back there? You say four buildings, but if you got whatever it is, 30-some acres, and you get four buildings going, you're going to build four more in behind it? That's what I'm talking about. You know, if you build the first four and you don't have a permit to do it, you're going to start four more? And that's what I have to say today.
Okay, Mr. Puckett, thank you. Okay.
Please. Okay. I'd like to ask you where the slabs are and the buildings are on that front part. Is there any runoff water that you see on from rain working its way onto your property?
I don't see any rain. You know,
if it's a heavy rain and the waters, I'm trying to think of the hillside.
It flows
I'm
across.
It's not going. Does it come across?
Yes,
your property?
It does.
It does.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay.
And I'm worried about the contamination. That's, you said they're putting in a
that's why I was asking.
Leach field or whatever. Okay. They're going to leach it out. It's going to come on down the hill.
Okay.
Can we, Eddie, get a topo map
that would be
of
good.
That area?
For next week.
I will.
That would show rise and fall of the land.
Okay.
Jennifer Puckett.
I also live at the same property that is my husband, and I do realize that we're supposed to add to what's already been said, but I think it loses impact because we all have these concerns. The water does run downhill from that way. We have to make sure because of the wash-off and all the rocks that are underneath our property. We have to, you know, check that every year before we start mowing. All the snow and everything that washes from up here at the top of the hill washes straight down that way, and it is a runoff. And also what he said about the power lines that run through there, you cannot build under them. Is that where the automobiles are going to be stored? battery acid, oil, antifreeze.
Can you identify the power lines, please? Is that that?
Okay, right where, I'm sorry, there's our house, mm-hmm. and there's a shed. About right here on our property is the power line, and it runs through, and it goes through this property also. There will not be anything built underneath of those. Like he said, he had to go to find out how far off we had to be. So if there's not going to be any buildings constructed because of those existing power lines for the dam, which are not going to go anywhere, is that where the used autos and the tires and everything is going to be? And right below there, I've heard a lot about sinkholes and other things not being able built, strip malls, golf course, what have you, which I'm not exactly sure about, so I can't pinpoint that to be exact. But if there's caves under there and there's sinkholes, it's not going to take long for those contaminants to go straight down to that water. And yes, anytime it is a heavy rain, we watch the water go right across our yard. It's like a gully, and it does go through there. And we have children and grandchildren on the way. So it is a big concern. And then another thing I had, the little post there that went up a couple of weeks ago, is that 45 miles an hour or 50 through there?
You were talking about the speed limit.
The speed limit right there on the highway, and then there's the little sign that posts what is happening. I don't know how anybody reads that going 30 miles an hour.
Okay. Okay. And then would you, Mrs. Puckett, mm-hmm. You see that white space up at the top? That looks like it might be a power right-of-way or something like
there's,
that. What is
I
that?
Can speak. I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I actually work for Empire Electric.
Okay.
That's our transmission line that goes through.
Right,
the,
and
like
it's right between
and
our shop and our shed.
And the easement. Yeah.
Yes, and that's why, like you said, with his building, we wanted it back in the corner so we could have a view, and it's not. It is actually, we moved it to where we had to move it.
Okay.
And then I had a question about solid waste materials. Okay, and I realize there's regulations for containment of those. What about the leaky automobiles? What are the regulations for those? Are there any? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I just, like I said, I just think these things should come up. And let's see. Sorry, I was writing things down as everyone was talking. Another thing about the permit. I know that if I'm going to go and drive to Branson or to Springfield, before I go, I'm going to call and make sure that that business is open for operation before I even leave my driveway. If you have any project that you're going to spend a large amount of money on, even while you're sitting and planning it, it's costing you money. And I don't care how much money you have. You're going to find out specific details before you put money into a large project. And I don't know anyone that's built anything that doesn't know that a permit is required to have it built. And that's basically all I have to say.
Thank you, Mrs. Puckett. Thank you. Jonathan Derby.
I don't see any humor in any of this. And I don't see anything good coming out of it.
Jonathan Derby.
I write clearer so you can see my signature. I don't live near this area. My name's Jonathan Derby. I live in Walnut Shade. I'm more concerned about the process. I think Mr. Price is going to deal with that in his manner. But I have some peripheral items that I think can be addressed. I know that the speed limit in that area is posted. I know that it's a solid line. There's no passing. Passing occurs on that road at all times. I know there are projects on 76 that have been turned down because they haven't been granted a driveway approach from MoDOT simply because the owner refused to put in a turning lane. Why wasn't a turning lane requested by MoDOT when they approved the driveway, particularly in that high-speed area? The second one is on-site water retention. It's not uncommon for a property of this size requiring a soil erosion permit to have on-site temporary and permanent water retention to control the water as it disperses off the site onto adjacent properties. I saw on the plat there, if that can be called a plat, that this is one single lot. And my question to you, commissioners, is this a single lot subdivision requesting commercial zoning? That will or should impact your decision. I'm just bringing these to you. I appreciate what you folks do. I know you know the rules, but the eye on the ball are the specific items of the code. The peripheral things about the temporary waiver and all of the permits, those will be dealt with in another way. The issues are specifically on-site, is the whole property going to be commercially zoned? And the other thing is I didn't see a right-of-way from MoDOT. Have they identified the right-of-way for MoDOT on their site plan? And is that where the retaining wall has been placed, or is it going to have to move? And then if it has to move, is there going to be a turning lane? Because I know that there's an intersection proposal being proposed for H Highway and 160. Where does that come in? Which property is it going to take? Is it going to take the old construction or the new construction by eminent domain? Is it going to be a rotary? Is it going to be a T-intersection? These questions should have been asked sometime before a public hearing so that those can be addressed. I know all these questions have to be answered before the plat is finally submitted for approval. They have 120 days to get through all this process. But commercial projects require in-depth discussion and analysis. Thank you for your time. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Coxey, your office does have the site plan, right?
I believe you have that also in your
We received that at the concept. And his question about commercial zoning for the entire property. Did we talk about that?
At this time, I'm willing to. We did talk about splitting this piece of property off. Of course, it doesn't fall under the rules of subdivision splitting. This would be something that, as you go through the project, if they are requesting to split that into the smaller part, that you would make the decision to approve as you're approving the project, if that's what you choose to do. So right now, it is one parcel. The site diagram that's been given to us does break that down to about 3 or 4 acres, if I'm not mistaken, and Mr. Majors can bring you up to speed on that. But they are bringing it right across in this area here, if I'm not mistaken, is where they're building. So they may choose to split that off as a separate parcel and then leave the rest of it zoned as residential. However, even if they don't do that, all you're approving here is the request for 4 buildings, if you would so choose to approve. Anything else that would need to be, or that they might have in the future, would have to come back before the same time.
Okay, we still have some people who choose to speak. Sharon Robinson.
Hi, my name is Sharon Robinson, and I don't live real close to that, but my sister does, and she's shy about speaking in public, so I'm the designated speaker. Her property is right there.
What's the address?
13190.
What's your sister's name?
Kathy Everett. Okay. This piece, I don't have any problem, or we don't have any problem with people selling land and people buying and building, but we're more concerned with the process, and are things done properly? And if they're not done properly in some measures, then things like runoff water, traffic, which is a big concern because this people come tearing around here and turning into her driveway. We have had so many close calls, rear ends, because this is very, very, people see it as a way to get quicker to Branson. So this is a very dangerous section here, and it's a very sharp curve. That's one of the concerns is the people slowing down to turn into this business, there's going to be some serious traffic problems there. The other is the older wells in this area are shallow. You know, 40, 50 years ago, you didn't have to go down 450 feet. You could go down 250, which means that runoff water is more likely to get into these older wells. And not everybody's can afford to build a deeper well just because all of a sudden we've got water problems. We're concerned about noise, you know, and what has been previously a residential section. What kind of noise? You know, how noisy is this place going to be? We don't know. But the biggest concern was is we didn't know. You know, we saw the paper where the emergency thing was issued on the 3rd of March. Kathy got her letter last week. You know, like you said, the barn door is open, the horse is out, and oh, my goodness, here we are. An emergency is there's a tornado coming, there's a flash flood, or Grandma fell down the stairs on her roller skates. It's not, oops, I didn't know that I should have a permit. Holy moly. You know, that's the thing is, you know, maybe this is going to be a wonderful building, an addition, but it wasn't done right, and we're concerned. You know, is it going to make our life worse? Who knows? We'd like to think it'd make it better, but a lot of concern just about the process and how's, you know, it's not NIMBY, not in my backyard, but, you know, let's make sure this is done right. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Let's move on then, because we have Josh Wisenhunt. And again, I would ask you to keep your presentation to information so that we don't get involved in a debate.
My name's Josh Wisenhunt. I am a construction manager, if you would like to call it, for Bill and Kelly Majors. The proposed project being right here, just going off of a couple of other talking points that I've heard to give some information, will not in any way affect these power lines here. They're nowhere near that. This property is unacquired by us. The deed has already been drawn up to split this property, and I believe we're just waiting on your guys' approval on the split of that to commercial and residential. I really don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight. I just came along and was here. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
You're the construction manager. What time do your guys start working on the property?
The earliest my guys are there, from what I see on timesheets, is roughly 6:45 or 7 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. Other contracts, subcontractors, and everything.
We are doing all the subcontracting ourselves, other than one other subcontractor, which, from my knowledge, doesn't start before 8 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. Then, Mr. Bill Majors.
How you doing? I guess I'd like to start out with a couple of different points. Josh covered the start time. I really don't believe that anybody started early. Because first off, it's got to be daylight before we can see what we're doing. I mean, that's kind of common sense. I've got kind of list thing. I'm trying to address some of their concerns back here.
Just us.
Okay,
just
you need
us.
Well, to make
right, but I mean, some of the
us.
Points that they brought up, I'd like to cover that with you guys. I guess there was a question about the runoff and with the water in the Dogwood Acres area. I guess one question I would have is Jim's auto. Oops. That's okay. Get this gizmo to work here. Jim's Auto is like right in this area here, which is uphill, which flows down to this way. So I guess in my viewpoint, if you're going to have concerns about the wells and the property in this area, because my property drains down to this area, which there's a gully down here. So, I mean, I could see where they could have an issue or a concern. But more importantly, from their standpoint right here, I would be more concerned with Jim's Auto right here, which has the same type of businesses that I'm proposing. There's a body shop and an automotive repair facility there, as well as you've got Tanco Lumber along in here, too.
Yeah, that's the one you're pointing to with the metal roof. That's Tanco. And then just
Jim's is probably just, on up in here.
Just south of it.
But Tanco has their big trucks, and anybody that's been around big trucks, you know, they leak fuel, they leak oil, they leak fluids. So those contaminants are going into the soil. So I guess, you know, that's what we're going to do. We have oil containment tanks. We have antifreeze containment tanks. Everything that we do, I mean, I don't want to pollute the soil any more than anybody else wants to pollute. I mean, my kid's going to live here. So, you know, we have Safety Clean that comes out. They gather our used antifreeze. They gather our used oil. I mean, we're going to try to be as eco-friendly as possible. Now, can I say that there's not going to be a customer that rolls into our parking lot and their car blows a radiator hose or anything like that? No, I cannot. It's no different than anybody's car driving down the highway. If you blow a radiator hose on the highway in front of somebody's property, are you concerned about their well? No, you're concerned about getting your car fixed. So I guess that's my point on that. The additional 5 acres that were brought up, we have not purchased that. Our plans are to purchase that additional 5 acres after the first of the year. We have no immediate plans to do anything with that 5 acres. The only reason I really wanted that 5 acres is because it adjoins the rest of my property. And that's all I want it for, because I just want it.
But there is no future plan to do anything with it. The runoff of the water, I know, and forgive me, I'm terrible with names, but the couple that lived in this house here, they were talking about our water running down here. They're on top of the hill. Everything falls this direction away from it. This here runs down through this. There's a gully right through the middle of the wooded area there. That really, if they're getting any water from here over to their house, we probably ought to look at Noah's Ark. I mean, they'd have to get a lot of water to get up in there from our property. I cover the soil contaminants. DNR, we have all of our permits that DNR has required. We have the soil erosion permit. And we've got the county permit that DNR require, or that the county required for that soil disturbance permit. Let's see, Josh covered the lots. Let's see here. And as far as I know, we have done everything. And the thing I would like to stress about the permitting process, and I don't mean this offensively at all, but if you drive around Taney County, and this is what I told Dan and Eddie the first time I met him, if you drive around Taney County, you can kind of look around and understand that there may not be a permit process involved. Because there are some things that are in place, granted whether they've been there or not, that, you know, you would question this. And as soon as we were notified of the permitting process and what was required, I think, you know, everybody could vouch that we have went through and tried to do everything that we had to do to get our permitting process in order and just try to get everything in line that's been required of us.
There's just one question, Mr. Majors,
yes, ma'am,
that I must ask, and that is, why did you go to the county commissioners? I mean, if you say...
For the variance.
I mean, why did you even consider that as an option?
The only reason we did that is I had the first building.
We understand all that. But somewhere in your mind, you must have said...
No, actually, I didn't even know about that process.
Okay, so did somebody guide you to the county commission?
Yeah,
or?
When I was meeting with Eddie and Dan, you know, basically, I was at a loss because I had no idea what to do. I had buildings coming. I had workers scheduled. And we had equipment coming. So I needed to get, you know, something going. And they were explaining to me that the process was about a 90-day process because, you know, of the window of opportunity. And that was going to be difficult because I was going to have a building laying on the ground. I had equipment coming. We had, you know, actually at that time we were scheduled for the concrete crews. This project, I know it seems.
But you're not saying that Eddie Coxie counseled you to go to the county?
No, he told me that it was an option. That's all he said. It was an option.
Okay. I'm required to do that.
Okay.
That we could do it.
That's all I needed to know then. Okay.
And that he presented, or actually, I think he got him in contact with me, and we talked about it and presented it.
I told the commissioners about it, and I believe they contacted Mr. Majors and then put him on their agenda.
Okay.
So they posted that meeting themselves.
Okay.
I had a question about the property.
Okay.
I wish the picture was up of the property.
Pardon me. I keep trying to get that top ground.
Well, we'll get that for next week.
All right.
So we have it. So it's looking like you're going to split that into two different lots. I'm trying to get a little better, or is that...
Two parcels. Yes.
Okay. So, nothing's going to be going on in the back?
No.
Right now. Just can clarify a little bit. Are you looking to build one residence back there for you?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not going to be a subdivision going in.
No.
You're looking to have your own property back there.
Yes.
Okay, so that was one question.
Not to interrupt you, but there's a little pond, and I believe it's about, right, well, that's the pond right there.
Okay, yeah.
My house is slated to go in right here, and if you check with MoDOT, right across from this place right here, there's a driveway there. I've got the permitting in place to put my driveway in for my house.
Okay. So that's what that permit was for?
The second MoDOT?
On the H-Highway.
Yes, and that is the entrance for my house because we didn't want to access it through the front, and we don't, you know, we just wanted a private driveway to our house.
So you're, that was, I, okay, so I have
yes.
a little bit of understanding that. And the other question is when these buildings are in, are you, and there's been some questions brought up in regards to old cars being around and stuff like that. So over on the other property, depending on where that line's going to end, are you planning on having vehicles?
No.
Okay, are you going to be asphalted in or?
Gravel.
Gravel? Okay, gravel. Yeah. Okay, so if someone was to drive by, let's say on Sunday and you're closed,
mm-hmm.
What number of old cars or used cars or cars they're going to be working on should I expect to see out there? What would be your maximum that I would see sitting around?
Ideally, I'd love to have the parking lot full because that's good business.
Okay, what would be a parking lot full there? What would be a number?
I mean, realistically, it's a tire store. You're going to be in and out for the most part.
No, but if I came by on Sunday and you're closed, what? No, give me a number that I can.
I'd say five at the most. Okay. I mean, I can't see even having that.
Okay,
but,
so maybe let's say if it was 10 or 15 because you had a bunch of business set up for Monday, then that
right.
would be a high number.
Yes.
Okay, that's a number.
I do be aware that one of those is a car lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that one there.
Okay,
said 20 previously.
Yes.
Okay,
for the car
so
lot.
I was trying to find out about used cars or cars that. Okay, so it could be 15 cars maximum that you're looking at getting worked on, and then the lot for selling them would be up to
a maximum of 20.
Maximum
and I really
of 20,
don't.
And those are runnable cars that someone could come in and start it up and take it out for a test.
Oh yes, yes.
Okay. But you will probably have the possibility of cars in front of the tire repair shop.
Yeah, and I know, and that's what I'm asking them if you went by when it wasn't running or working. Okay. And you can probably tell us at some point. I mean, I didn't get to count how many spaces there were on.
There's 14 required for each building.
14 for each
dancing
yes.
over there.
Okay, so we'll. Okay.
It's that based was, on square footage.
That was the question I had because that came up.
Uh-huh. Right.
About the cars. Okay.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have heard all.
I got some mad. I really do.
Okay, and you are Mr. McCaig, but I think there are different things.
Well, wait, before you hit your gavel there, I know you're excited.
Because.
You go, but are there regulations for garages as far as. Any garages, just not this one. I'm just curious about the disposal of the chemicals. I mean, I know you contract with them, but and that's not necessarily just a reflection on what you
sure.
just said. It's just in general.
Nothing that I'm specifically aware of that I haven't seen.
They will have to have an approved carrier.
For
their waste oil, their dual oil changes.
When you have your old oil picked up, they have to give you a receipt on how many gallons of oil
so
they picked up.
So the DNR or somebody comes by to check you have all that stuff.
And Safety Clean does all of that.
You have to have a record of what's been sold and what's
they give us, not to interrupt, but they give us receipts for all of our antifreeze and everything.
Okay.
Every
that's
contaminant they pick up.
I thought there was, but I wanted to hear. Okay.
Mr. Majors, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let me make sure that the people that have walked in are here for another issue, not for the Bill Majors issue. Is that correct? Okay. And Mr. McCaig, one last comment from you, and then I'm going to close the public hearing.
I don't blame you. Okay. Work on the property. I got several neighbors that would be willing to sign an affidavit. There has been work before 6 o'clock in the morning. I live right across the street. One morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, equipment came in. They left the semi running, and about 6 o'clock, they started backing it up, beep, 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 beep. Another morning, they came in because it was going to rain, so they wanted to pour one of the slabs. They started before 6 o'clock in the morning, in the dark. They had trucks pointed at the slab with their lights on, okay, so they could pour it. Now, that wasn't at 6:45. That was a lot earlier. So they're not showing any consideration for the neighbors in the area with the noise. They don't care. The other thing is they drive motorcycles in and out of there. So they're going to put a motorcycle shop in. Those things don't have mufflers. There's not one of you people in front of me that would want a motorcycle shop with motorcycles going in and out with no mufflers all hours of the day. You just wouldn't want it. There's not anybody that would admit wanting something like that across from their house. Okay? Visual clearance. I called up MoDOT and got the information on them. It's 560 feet in either direction. The gentleman that issued the permit said he was hard-pressed to get the road where it was because it barely passed the 560 feet. My question was, that 560 feet clearance, does that mean you see the whole car or part of the car? And they said, well, you only have to see part of the car. Okay? So that's fine. But if you get in my driveway or their driveway and get it 4.5 feet, 400 feet away, you're only going to see the roof of the car. Now, my next question was, does that mean that 560 feet is good for a 35-mile-an-hour zone or a 55-mile-an-hour zone? They said 55. I said, okay. Does that mean you got 560 feet to stop on a wet highway doing 55 miles an hour? Because you can look up the rules in Missouri's Department of Transportation, and that's not enough distance, stopping distance on a wet highway at 560 feet. Okay, so anybody can come down there and look, because right here, I'm right here, that's the driveway I'm measuring it from. Right here in front of the house is a mailbox, and that's where the dip in the road is. That's where the cars start disappearing. It's exactly 400 foot from my driveway. 560 feet, all you do is see the top of the car. I know that I have a problem with the traffic, with people coming up on you. And even when I know that there's a blind spot, I still have inadvertently pulled out in front of people because I couldn't see them. I feel like crap because I hate when they do it to me. But that highway, you can't see them coming, even if you know they could be coming. All right, now, DNR. Yeah, I checked with DNR. And they said that they couldn't really get involved on pollutants until they actually happened, in which I said, well, you know, it'd be nice to stop them before they did. But the big thing is the engineer. I asked the engineer, I said, when you designed this sewage plant for these people, did anybody tell you there were sinkholes on the property? Because John Whitley told me in front of Art Fitzpatrick and myself that he got out of this deal with his brothers and traded for the property and back because he considered this a big problematic and didn't think it could be used as a commercial property because of the sinkholes on the property and the pollution problem. Okay? There's still sinkholes on the property. You didn't sign up to speak either. We also have...
Okay, let's proceed.
We also have a problem with a building yet to be determined for the use. How do you approve something that no one's going to tell you what you're going to do with it? I mean, you're going to put in a red light district, or what are you going to do? Put a bar topless? What's going to go on? You can't approve something without knowing ahead of time what it's going to be.
Do you have one more point?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I have a polluted well. It almost killed my whole family. You can ask Dr. Ralston. We had cholera. We had hepatitis, and several other diphtheria and several other bacteria growing in our throat. Okay, and when we moved to this county, and it almost killed us. Literally killed us. And we've lived with a polluted well and had to distill our water for the 31 years we've been here. We have finally saved up enough money to drill another well. We got to go something like 700 feet. All right. If I put that kind of money in the ground and I have these people right across the street, what are the chances of my well getting polluted again after waiting all this time to try to finally get clean water? It's not fair. It's not right. So I think that is probably my final point.
Okay. We have one more person.
Thank you.
Ms. Robinson. Okay.
I didn't sign up to speak, but
you'll have to come forward, identify yourself. Okay.
My name is Jennifer Cruson. I live where are they? This house right here, across the field. I had a pretty view. You know, I wash my dishes. I see nothing. I don't anymore. But I wanted to point out that my kids have been woken up. I have three. I don't own the home. I take care of the owner of the home. She asked me to come in. My kids have been woken up several times at 6 o'clock in the morning. They usually don't get up till 8 from the building noises, the trucks, the tractors, the trailers, just the construction period. And if I don't got to get up till 7, I'm not too happy about that. But they're kids, you know. They woke up because of the noises. I woke up as well. But their room is right next door, right? The field bounces off. I mean, the field is an open field. There's no trees. So any noises is going right directly to my house.
Your last name, Jennifer?
Cruson.
K-R-E-S-O-N. S-O-N, okay. And your property, again, that you're talking about is where?
Right across the field.
Right next to the field.
Right next to the outside.
Where's that? Right there.
Okay.
Mrs. Steinfelder, if I may, I know that the county does have a construction ordinance, and if they're violating the construction ordinance, she certainly has that avenue in which to complain if they are starting too early, and I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you, Counselor. Appreciate that. Mrs. Robinson, I'm about ready to close this, okay? Uh-huh. We have other issues to deal with this evening, okay.
I'm the one that is one of the couple that lives on the property. I don't see the humor in all of this. We're talking about 28 years of being married and working to buy a property that we dreamed of owning. We only moved here 5 years ago. It took us that long. This is where what we consider our home. Our whole life is in this. Every bit of money that we worked and saved and work for now is in that property. I've stood on that property and had to move my vehicle because we do have trees and we worry about the high winds. I've watched the water come down. I would like to know when any of these gentlemen have stood in my driveway and watched which way the water flows. I do not see any humor in this at all, and people sitting around and laughing. And as far as making other remarks, this is supposed to be an adult forum. And it would be nice if it was ran that way. There's nothing funny about it at all. I'm very upset that there's even laughing and giggling and comments going on. You know, the thing is...
Are you addressing somebody in particular?
No, I'm talking about... Excuse me, I know we're not supposed to direct anybody.
Right.
But while people are talking, they're laughing. Let's see, Noah's Ark... I don't know who walks on water in this room.
Okay, Ms. Puckett, thank
you. Well, I just have
much.
One more thing to say. Is okay. This the only time we get to speak? Am I correct
yes,
in understanding
it is.
That?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
I may not be the brightest light bulb in the room. I work in the elementary. Our kindergartners are expected to act better than this. And not owning my own business, but knowing people that do and coming from the city, I don't know where in this country you drive. And you look around and you determine by the looks of someone else's property that you have the right to start doing something without permission. I've never known that to happen anywhere.
Okay. Okay, now we have one more person. Yes, sir, and assuming that you've come in late.
I've been here the whole time.
Okay, but you did not sign up. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So identify yourself, please.
My name is Joel Baca. I work for Bill Majors. And I have two kids, and I've been out of work all winter and had nothing going on, and I had a hard time keeping up with feeding my kids and all that. And this project has allowed Bill to hire me and two other people and give us good work. So that never come up that it's employing people around this area.
Okay, and your name again for the record?
Joel Baca.
B.
B-A-C-A.
Okay. I am declaring the public hearing closed on the Bill Majors project. Let us know that next Monday night the commission will not take any further public comment. You've had your opportunity tonight. We have heard your concerns. Next Monday night is time for the commission to indulge in its deliberations and make a decision. That's what will happen as far as this issue is concerned.
What time
does
that start?
6:00. Okay. So let us move on then, if we may, to the next items on the agenda.
Hey, Eddie, would you make sure we have copies of the site plan and any information on that partial split?
Yeah. I don't approve those.
We can deny it.
I'll wait
until
I leave.
Before Bill, before the judge, L3.
We are still in session. Would ask you to exit as quietly as possible.
Emergency waiver.
The history that I
don't
approve
of an emergency.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing.
So do you want to do that now?
Just so you know how it came about.
I think the
it was Code Book Amendment in 2003.
Okay. Let's listen to Eddie give us the historical explanation of the emergency waiver.
In August 2003, the
under the leadership of Greg Smith, the planning commission, my understanding is, went through a code book amendment and added this emergency waiver provision, which would have been presented to the commission and voted on. We have that document and everything like that, although I have not been able to put my hands on in minutes. It did not show up in the code book since I've been here, and we have tried to locate that and everything like that, but there's been several things that I found that the commission had presented to them and voted on and approved, and yet they didn't show up in the book. I know they existed because we did business that way, and if I couldn't find something to reasonably prove that's the way we did business, then we quit doing anything. But we did come up with this particular document and can trace it back to August of 2003.
Okay. Is it possible, so there is a document that establishes that procedure. Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I understanding
that? Do
you
really want to know
that?
About this?
Yeah.
Man, we have nothing to do.
Eddie,
I apologize.
Now, what's the real story?
I was laughing a little bit. I was laughing because I was thinking Bob's had two fun meetings today.
Okay.
The way I remember it is there was a gentleman that had a home or a mobile home, and he was taking care of his sick sick relative on the back of the lot, and he couldn't have two homes on the same lot, and the county commission wanted to find some way to let him do it, and I believe a former member of the planning and zoning staff went to them, and they came up with the idea of an emergency waiver, which I spoke very poorly of, and said things like, I don't know where your lawful authority is for doing that sort of thing. I didn't tell them that it was illegal, but they decided they wanted to do it anyway, and that was probably back around 2003.
That's what we can gather.
Was that the lady that did that wanted to do the upholstery at home
for
her husband?
No, I don't think so. I think
on the back of that form.
Where was that at,
we'll
Bob?
Talk afterwards. They're not usually this much fun.
I think this is wonderful.
Well, if you like, just bring us to your memory.
Okay.
We granted emergency waivers for Jim's auto body when it burned. We granted for the church army daycare when it came through. We granted one for a cemetery because the individual had died and they needed to get him buried pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was right there by that. That was right there by that. You run it right down the road from there?
I didn't go looking for it. But
okay.
So it has been used several times.
So this has been used. Yeah.
Now,
there is precedent for this.
As far as the legality of it or not, I know that the county has the right to make code book changes. I know they probably have the right to make things a little more stringent than state statute. But I
think I told them exactly the same thing, that not as far as that it was illegal, but that I don't see where your lawful authority is to do that. The Dillon rule, as he quoted, says that the commission only has those powers that are granted to it by the statute of the Constitution, or those powers necessary to carry out those duties that are given them by the Constitution or the statutes. And Eddie can attest to this, I generally advise against doing emergency waivers.
The sheriff's
out there. Certainly
when it doesn't even appear to be an emergency.
Do be aware that this is a function that has to be voted on by the commission because they are truly the ones that grant land use change.
Right.
So that's where we are on that.
Question.
Yeah, me too.
Mr. Counselor, County Counselor. We're in a sticky situation here.
Yeah.
And I'm fearful that if we do anything other than not allow this to be built, we may be opening ourselves up to a lawsuit.
You're kind of between a rock and a hard place either way you go.
But they were also warned early on, and they kept going.
I understand.
So I've got a question. But when this first came apart, wasn't this just for one building? And there's been three additional buildings built since then.
When they were planning on building all four buildings. Now, whether we should have granted the emergency waiver for one building or for the project or whatever, they granted it for the project.
For the project?
Yes, sir. Okay.
The county.
Emergency waivers need to go away.
Right, that is correct.
And I've always been of that opinion.
Okay. I will remind you of this. Whether we've got the cart before the horse or not, it's our responsibility, our office's responsibility, to make sure that a project does not violate absolute policies. Had we not been fairly certain that this project met all the absolute policies and basically saw no big red flags that would have existed, we never would have taken this before the county commission for the emergency waiver. It is our job to, in my instructions anyway, that we try to make sure to help these people get to where they need to be, as long as they're not violating our codes or anything like that. That's why, under the situation, I argued with Mr. Majors and his construction manager for quite a while, and he said there must be something can be done. Well, generally in that situation, people will go to the county commission and they'll call down and say, can we issue an emergency waiver? They don't always do that, but sometimes they will. So we make it known that there is another process that they may, but there's no guarantee on that either. And then we tell them everything that goes on with that in the event that they would enter into that process. It's there. It's part of our, forms and books that we have. Don't have to like it. There's a lot of things I don't like, but I still
Is it possible, Eddie, assuming that that happened before the county commissioners and that there would be minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
It would have to be minutes.
Possible to get a copy of
no,
what
you're talking,
those minutes were
for
the emergency waiver.
We are in the process of trying to find those, and however, the clerk has not been able to put their hands on that.
No, 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 no. Commissioner meeting.
The meeting with Mr. Majors.
We have today one of the gals researched the county commission minutes and could not find.
It may have been in an executive session, and just the motion itself may have been.
We don't always get documentation.
Why would it be an executive session?
I'm just saying if they can't find it in the regular minutes.
I doubt whether something like that would be an executive session.
I agree.
That's why I brought you the history that I brought you, because that's what I've been able to put my hands on.
And for the people that live out there close, they are right on what time they have started. I've been through there.
And that may very well be, sir.
They have been there at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning.
We ought to start at 5. Okay. Sean, you go first.
Are there finales tonight that you're missing?
Yeah, there are. It's 24, but that's okay. I've got until 8 o'clock.
You have these new things called VCRs.
I know. Okay. Okay, you had some concerns.
I did. Obviously, there's... And I'm going to ask you, Bob, just because, well, you're the guy to ask, but I know your standard answer is a lot of times you have to check in and get back to us. So, obviously, there's a couple things that people are upset about. The biggest one was how the process went about, which is not our normal process.
Sure. No, and they would.
And it has put this commission in between a rock and a hard place, no matter what, at this point. But that's what the cards were dealt, and so that's where we have to move forward from here. So my first question is: are they two separate issues? Do we need to look at our real issue here at this point? Because this is not the first time that Eddie's went out and found a building already built that's been running for 2 years.
I didn't want to add any more questions, but the question that I wanted to ask Mr. Price, beyond the whole bit about our process being faulty and him believing that it was illegal, was exactly that question. Okay, so the process is illegal. Okay, let's just assume that you're correct for a minute. Okay, now, isn't that a separate issue from whether this should be approved or not? Do we have to deny it? He seemed to say, you have to deny it. You don't have any choice, he said. And I don't see where that's the case. Show me where that's the case. That's what I would have liked. Do you have case law or statutes to support your opinion that we need to deny it because we had a faulty process or allowed them to build it ahead of time? So now we have no option but to deny it. What's your basis for saying that? That's what I would have liked to have asked him.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask him, too. And the only reason why is I'm just trying to make sure that we're looking at the proper thing, us as a commission.
Right.
My question. Obviously, there's one thing to deal with how the process went. We can't do a whole lot about that at this point. We are where we are because of lots of things.
Yes.
But where we are today... is did they go through the concept properly? Did they post it properly? Did we hold the public hearing? And are we making the decision properly? And are we making them on the information that we now have from the other things that were brought out tonight?
Your flow chart is basically, okay, if we have to deny it, tell us why. Where does it say we have to deny it? And if you can't come up with that, then we treat this exactly the same as we would every other project, and we either approve it or disapprove it, regardless of whether it's already built.
Right. Yeah, beside the point that the way it did, that's another issue that needs to be fixed, but that's not something we are dealing with next week. I don't see us.
That's going to be a legal issue, I think, the way the process was handled. That's not your fault.
We've got to make sure that if we were to approve it, that all the proper guidelines are set forth for them to go forward from now.
Because I know you've went out before and found businesses have been operating for two or three years or longer.
We don't have to worry.
And they were already out, and they weren't permitted, and we've had them come through the process.
And the neighbors
don't
care.
Yeah, but they have an attorney. That's right. Here's where my question is. I want to know next week when we vote on it, because we can look at this property and say, okay, if this was going through its normal channels.
It's the same process.
I mean, the odds are it's going to be passed on. We're going to say yes. Whether that happens or not next week, that's another story. I want to know that.
Well, I'm not willing to say that. But
no, I can say that from a whatever. What I want to know is that if we vote on this next week and we give a yes to it, I don't need an attorney coming back to arrest me because I did not handle, I did not do Missouri State law.
They're not going to
sue us or whatever. Well, you know what I mean.
First of all,
I don't want any polygraph, any more polygraph tests. I can tell you that.
Yeah, we've had to go through that.
Yeah. Went through that.
Well, there's unfortunately, anytime you sit on this board, that's a possibility.
I know all about it. Okay. Anyway,
no, I'm not talking to Chuck. I'm talking to me.
No, I understand. I understand. I know.
Okay.
Believe me, I know.
Because I would like to hear it from you next week before we vote on it, that you're comfortable with us voting, giving up. Now, wait, please let me finish.
Okay.
Because this is important. I know we were joking there. I apologize for that. I want to know that when I vote next week that I don't have to worry about any repercussions. If you can't tell us that next week, then I'd rather table this. And we have 90 days or whatever time period that we can look at it so that we have no illegal part.
Making a decision, okay, as is, you're not subject to criminal violations unless you've done something criminal. Making a wrong decision.
I have an attorney that just told me otherwise.
No, he didn't.
No. I mean, if you took a bribe from somebody and you could get prosecuted and you could go to jail.
Yeah,
but if you just make a wrong decision on the law, I mean, there's not a problem. I guarantee you, you've made wrong decisions before on this commission. I guarantee it. All that will happen is there'll be an appeal to the Board of Adjustment. And then after the Board of Adjustment, there will be an appeal to the Circuit Court, and then maybe to the Appellate Court. It's happened before, and it could happen again. And they may find that you're wrong, or they may find that you're right. As long as you haven't done anything criminal, you don't have any problem along those lines.
And that fear alone should not keep us from abstaining on the vote. I've got to say that.
I think you guys need to look at this as the project. You aren't involved with the emergency waiver or anything like that.
No.
This is the project. Does it meet our requirements?
Mr. Edwards.
I'm sorry, Mr.
The appeal process allows more variance than we're allowed to give. If the variance is given by the appeal process, if it's turned down here and the Board of Adjustment turns it around based on the appeal, they have more variance than we have. From a legal standpoint.
Well, there's not even a requirement for a variance. I mean, you would want to turn this down probably if it didn't meet your requirements.
I'm just saying.
They're not needing a variance. What they're saying is we fit and we want to be approved. And basically, they'd be going to the Board of Adjustment if you turn them down saying you've made an error of law, you should have approved us. They're not going to. They don't have a setback problem that I know of.
No,
they don't have any other problems that they need a variance from.
They don't violate any absolute policies.
So basically, what they're needing is approval. And if they're not compatible, you find against them. I mean, if they're compatible, you find with them. Or if there's some other issue you shouldn't find for them, you don't. And if they think you're wrong, they have a right to appeal to the Board of Adjustment. And they just. They hear them and decide for or against them, and then they move on to circuit court.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's...
Probably either way, it's going to go to Board of Adjustment. Either way this is voted, it's going to go to Board of Adjustment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's too much involved.
Why? Why would it?
Any party that was here and is agreed by the decision has the right to appeal.
It's a prediction.
Okay, okay, and you're saying the other...
So if it's a yes or a no, it's...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
We're not done.
Oh, I didn't.
Are we through with the discussion? Ready to move on to the next topic on the agenda? The Altom Construction Office.
Altom Construction is here to renew their permit. If you'll remember, this property is down on US Highway 160.
Are they here?
Uh-huh.
Are they here?
Yeah.
I don't think they're here.
I don't think
they're not.
Let's move on.
Eddie, I will tell you something about that. He's not done what he's supposed to do down there.
No, I know, and I mentioned that to Ms. Kleinfelter.
Okay.
And that was one of the things I know you're concerned about his chances.
Yeah, he better start building.
Well, and that's why before you renew his permit, you can make that conditional to him.
Okay.
He has spent some time going getting a loma to get him, and so it shows he's not in the floodplain. He does have good silt fencing.
Let's move on to old business bylaws.
In your package, you received a copy of the bylaws at our last meeting. We discussed the changes in there. That is a clean copy for you to look at and to see if you're okay with that. And if so, to vote to adopt that, since you've got more than enough quorum here. If you remember, we changed our meeting time. We changed the, we took out the part that says there will be a study meeting on the fourth Thursday of the month.
They got $25 in there. We're being paid $50.
You're getting too much then, right? You're only supposed to get $40.
Yeah. We need to comply with one or the other.
That's the state standard minimum. They can pay you more, but
not to exceed $25 per meeting.
Which would be $50.
Says not to exceed.
I think Sean's right.
Of course,
is that your new copy? is that your new copy? Because I believe
the new copy stated
Monday, May 10, 2010, 6 p.m.
That was supposed to be changed, gentlemen, because it was supposed to be.
I don't have any problem with 50, but I don't want somebody
to be paid
in $25.
I may have already spent it.
It's we do it for the money now anyway.
I guess they'll see me.
It's just I'm just saying that's what it says.
I don't get the check.
Okay, we'll put this aside, gentlemen. I'll bring you another one next week because I believe we agreed that it was going to say not to to be in accordance with.
Okay, so we're not dealing with the bylaws.
We're not going to be able to if that correction has not been made.
Let's move on to duplexes and Harry Styron's proposal for duplexes.
We've had several discussions, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but starting this coming Friday, we start into a work session with the county commission concerning our zoning regulations and I need to jump back real quick on these bylaws. All members of the County Planning Commission shall serve without such compensation except that an attendance fee as reimbursement for expenses may be paid to the appointed members of the County Planning Commission in an amount as set by the County Commission not to exceed $25 per meeting. But so that is going to have to be changed there. So we'll get back to that. But anyway, where am I? Where I'm duplexes. In discussions with different commissioners and with different people, at this particular time, we were all in agreement that there is no way that as the planning board that we can safely construct duplexes to deal with fire issues and privacy issues and things like that until our code book is amended and changed with some new zoning districts. That being said, go ahead.
Mr.
Pingleton wanted to vote yay or nay or
we want to move on.
Right.
Move forward.
I would make the recommendation to you that while I believe the duplexes are a viable form of dwelling and definitely needed in Taney County and they need to be defined and everything like that, at this particular time to change our code book to put people at risk financially, physically, in a lot of different ways, and that my recommendation to you would be until our code book is changed sufficiently, that we would have to look at Mr. Styron's proposal and vote no. That's my recommendation to you because we cannot address the safety concerns at this particular time.
Okay. The question I had, Eddie, for you was when you said until we change our planning and zoning?
We're working on some zoning districts.
Okay, but how would that make a difference as far as safety because we don't have building codes?
I'm working on an item that I'll call an overlay district. I don't have it all worked out yet or anything like that. Similar to what we did with our height ordinance,
okay.
To where we would look at that and say, in special occasions, we would allow an overlay district. If you prove to me why you would need this as opposed to our record.
Okay, so that's how you would cover
it. And then here's our concerns. How can you address these? At the same time, in that same kind of district there, we would look at PUDs, different things like that. And it gives the developer the option to say, I'd like to come in here and build duplexes in this, and here's how I'm going to build them. And if he can address the concerns to your satisfaction, then you can permit it.
So you're going to be doing this, that'll be part of these meetings that are coming up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then.
Now, whether that'll happen or not, I can't guarantee you that. Because, I mean, Mr. Paulson's getting hit with this for the very first time, and the commissioners really haven't heard that much about it yet, and you know, they may.
I just heard you say it. I didn't know how you were planning.
That's the only way in Taney County that I can find that we might be able to do something like that. And I think uphold what our code book states is the responsibility of this commission to ensure the safety and the welfare of the inhabitants here and to protect property value.
I'm ready to make
a
motion.
There's no need for a motion if you don't approve it. It's not a part of the vote.
Right? Okay.
Eddie, will you please explain?
Can we put that in the minutes at least that shows that we.
Will you please explain the hearings that are going on, and do you want members of the commission to sit in on those hearings? And when are they scheduled now?
We originally scheduled time beginning on this coming Wednesday at 8 o'clock. That meeting has been changed until Friday, this coming Friday at 8, and then each following Wednesday for the 2 weeks after that at 8 o'clock, unless those get changed. These are going to be meetings with the commissioners. Aegis Engineering has been invited as a spectator, not as a paid employer, anything like that. I believe each one of you should have gotten an email or something from us. If you haven't, you are welcome to be there for that. Also, the Board of Adjustment has been invited.
Where will that be here?
What are the dates and times? Just talking about
this coming Friday, which is the
14th.
14th at 8 o'clock.
Then,
okay.
19th
a.m.
A.m.?
This is in, and then the following Wednesday.
26th.
Which is what, the 19th and the 26th. Right now they're both scheduled at 8 o'clock. And matter of fact, I have with me tonight.
Friday morning then,
to show you what we're pursuing. This is what we're pursuing as far as districts. And at this particular time, all this is subject to change. I did spend the last week, I spent time with Christian County and with Stone County because they're both going through this procedure. Stone County does not have a working book yet. She said it would be another 2 to 3 months before they had it. So far, with what they've done, they've made over 100 revisions, with 7 more to be made tonight. She suggested that we didn't take their approach to
this. So this is basically what
that is the districts that we are going to chase and try to define
our own.
Pardon?
Our own, not Stone.
No, this is ours.
This is ours.
And everything. It may change. We may see we need more, we need less. But as some of you know, you just got to start somewhere, and then you can add on and take away later. So we've tried to define those a little bit so we would know. They'll get fleshed out more. They'll get their definitions, their regulations. Some of those are already governed by our code book, and we have a full-blown set of rules and regulations for those. Some of them we'll have to start defining. But starting Friday.
Okay. The airport cell tower.
As you know, I came before you.
You could send us an email on those meeting dates and times.
And he wants her to put something in there that you intentionally did not vote to pass the.
I want to make sure that, because I've been on the other end of that, I want to make sure there's something in the minutes that says that we intentionally didn't vote or whatever to not pass that.
So that can't
request
be
and then let Harry know.
Oh, the deal with Harry, can that be tabled? Can that be tabled till after these meetings, you know, ending on the 26th?
We are going to probably, as we get into this. Unfortunately, we're probably going to be looking at several months, maybe a year. I know Stone County has been going through this for almost a year now, or maybe even longer than a year.
But you guys will let him know that we didn't.
I will contact him and tell him at this time you voted not to pursue.
Well, we didn't vote. We just didn't pursue.
As a discussion, you chose not to pursue this issue, therefore, with no motion, the thing dies.
Right. Okay, cell tower people.
Cell tower. Hi, I'm Bruce Colony. This is Jeremy Burden. Cool. And Debbie from AT&T came up. What we basically were going to talk about, hang on to that, is that we have applied or are in the process of wanting to put up a cell tower
and get a building permit, and I guess it came through that you all wanted to hear it as a Division III process as opposed to a Division II. So I thought maybe that if I came and explained kind of what we were doing and who all was related and where it was at, that maybe that would alleviate the need to go with the full-blown Division III process. If not, that's okay, but I appreciate you doing the openness.
Okay.
Plead my case. So,
And your role at the airport is?
I'm a project manager and properties manager for the airport, Jeremy's Director of Operations.
Okay.
So
there's a pointer up there if you... Yeah. Okay. He's got anything.
I'm going to start with my... Okay. I have his name, so...
Yeah, I got to use it.
That's the Beacon County overview of our property. And this is just the same thing. This small blown-up area here is the area of detail.
Jeremy, you want to... I don't know if I brought enough of these. If we can hand... I brought this because even on an 8.5 by 11, it's not even possible to take a look at. So this small area over here is where the cell tower is actually going to go. And this would be the existing Branson Airport LLC or Branson Lane property line. This inner property line here is that which is the Tatum County TDD. They do get right next to each other right back here in this little area. And you can see that a little better on the handouts. As far as up here with my bad elbow, this ought to be interesting. I can find my own dot. That's basically right where the cell tower is going to go. And it's only on its side. I know that one of the concerns was how tall is it and is it going to be an obstruction of the aircraft. In the documentation that I've given you is the FAA Form 7460, which Jeremy filed, and has been approved by the FAA. There is a threshold with which we can build to on the airport, or within 5 miles of the airfield, and that is, what is 170?
Yeah, the actual height of the airspace is like 174 feet above the ground in that location. So we filed to 170 feet.
Right. So basically, there's a plane that is restricted that we can't go above, and we're 4 feet short of it.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I did some research on this recently. I thought the regulation was such, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, that above, that's the height that you need to stay under where the tower doesn't need to be lighted, and anything above that height needs to be lighted. Is that not correct?
Well, there are depending on where you're going to build the tower, that's absolutely true. Like, for instance, the tall one over on SMS's property on 65, I guess it's got everybody on it. It's got AT&T and Highway Patrol. That's what? 500-foot tower? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it has to have a certain kind of lighting. Where we're at, we're nowhere near a height to provide all the lighting and all the painting that would typically be required of a tower of that height. But because of the proximity of the airport, we're going to paint an orange and white light anyway. Just because it's an advisory from the FAA, it's not a requirement. So when it comes to an advisory thing, the airport always errs in the... Okay. So they can't come back and say, well, we advised you it should be an orange and white. You didn't paint it that way, it's your fault. That guy did it. So. Anyway, did I answer your question? It's not actually required that we do any more
underneath a certain height,
above 170 feet. In the proximity where this tower is, we can't build anything above that line, period.
Okay.
Because of it's only three-quarters of a mile from the air from the runway.
Right. Well, and if a tower was built above that elevation, the instrument approach procedures into the airport would be affected.
So it's not so much. If we were to go above this magic line,
is this a new cell tower?
Yes.
A new one. You're not replacing an already existing one. And the purpose of this is to enhance
cell service
for whom?
AT&T customers.
I see.
I'm with Black and Beach Engineering, so that's the proposed in the
AT&T, Verizon.
So you're looking at enhancing coverage,
AT&T.
Basically.
Yeah, we're looking at
and it doesn't have anything to do with the airport.
No, it's just an ancillary business.
It's just another cell tower.
It's horrible in the whole area.
I wouldn't know why. There hasn't been anything out there for thousands and thousands of years.
So, I mean, it's no surprise that the cows don't talk on cell phones.
Yeah.
But we'd like to. And our passengers coming through the airport would certainly like to. So we put up the tower, and it's being built for up to six tenants. AT&T has already signed on to be one. And they're currently out talking to U.S. Cellular and Verizon and Sprint. So ultimately, there would be four or five tenants with antennas on that cell tower to be self-service for everybody.
But you're saying that because this is on that fairly isolated property, there are no residential
if he would have given notice to people 600 feet away, they'd be giving notice to themselves. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this is what I basically what I'm trying to tell you is that this is where we're looking at. The only other people anywhere around us is Branson Creek or GEP, and it's a mile and a half or something like that before you get to somebody's property that's not GEP's, and GEP has already filed an affidavit with the county stating their approval.
So, do you remember this discussion of 2 weeks ago, and why did we want to particularly hear
this?
This
was on the fall
procedure.
Because it was a procedure.
I don't know what you guys have gone through.
We've gone through things, not exactly that, but plenty of things like that. But
I think we need to go through the hearing.
Yeah, I think you need to go through the process.
You got to go through the process. I mean, I'm of the opinion. Thank you for coming. I don't see anything wrong with it, but we are going to follow procedure.
Okay.
Yeah. Believe
it or not.
And I think enough said. You were sitting through the little bitty part of that. So.
Yeah, no, I would.
It's just not the first worth it to anybody.
So if I get a cell tower up and somebody two ridges over decides they don't like the orange flashy light, maybe they have a chance to complain about it.
There you go.
You're in trouble. We are too.
We're in trouble. All right.
Because anybody can come talk no matter where they
are. Bad night.
So through the process.
Also, we went
first. I mean, no, really.
I don't think it wouldn't have mattered.
Let's move on then, if we may, because we have the Watkins subdivision.
I have a request by Mr. Watkins.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Talk to you later.
Are we gun shy?
But a property. Again, this is one of those deals. I don't even know if you want to hear it. This is like he has a minor subway created. He created a subdivision, a minor sub years ago. This lots out there are 11 acres, 15 acres, something like that. He wants to split this one 15 acre tract into 5 and a 10 acre tract. And I thought I might ask if you wanted to hear it or let me handle it administratively.
What are the other tracts around it?
Yeah, what else is around it?
His subdivision. But it's all residential.
I mean, are they five-acre tracks?
Dan, can you get video of that?
That's on video right now. What are you
doing? Watkins, talking Watkins.
We need to hear them.
I believe they're all fairly large parcels right around there.
I think we need to hear these cases.
Yeah.
We'll get ourselves...
This is a lot of debt. And
we're
going to
be
in and,
as much as commissions.
Which 176?
Yeah, he's on 176.
Which one? State Highway?
Be the bottom one here, Timothy.
This one?
Yeah. And they bring you up the map.
When they come in to ask you that, just ask if their neighbors have attorneys already lined up.
You know what? That shouldn't matter.
This is a lot split.
That should not matter when they
have requirements. It really shouldn't. But
that should not make
good,
a difference.
Good rule of thumb is just follow the rules.
Okay.
My only question, Eddie, is, you know, and Dan, if you can raise that up a little bit. We get some of the strangest configurations of land.
Yes, you do.
Like, why is this like a boomerang?
Because at one time, he called the hell out of his homestead.
A lot of this back here is because of the topography of the land, the way it falls and everything like that. Up in front here, it's because we require a certain amount of frontage. Now, these have a lot more frontage than necessary, but I would venture to say when you get back in here, it's pretty steep.
Okay. So the building spot is right up there.
The building spot's in here. Matter of fact, the lot he wants to carve off is right there. And it's a 5-acre tract.
Yeah, it's just north of the 176 where it says that's actually pretty that valley right there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And that valley runs to
the
east.
So, you know, consequently, what you have back here, and they've got large tracts, is basically useless land until somebody gets real desperate. Mm-hmm. And then they'll do that. Again, I bring that to you because... It does meet all of the requirements that we need to meet. However, our code book does say If we increase density in the platted subdivision, that's your decision.
It says what?
If we're increasing density in a platted subdivision.
Then it comes to the process.
Sounds like it comes to the process.
Well,
so and let's. I suppose we can make the argument. I'm not trying to talk into it, but I am bringing this before you because we are increasing density. In the past, sometimes you've said handle it administratively if it meets all requirements. But after tonight, you may be saying.
Well, I know you've heard me say before. Just because we did it in the past doesn't mean it was right.
I agree,
right.
I'm just. He asked me to make the request. I'm making the request.
I would like to go through the normal process.
Okay.
First and second.
Is there anything else for the good of the order?
I need to tell you one more thing, just so you'll know, and I'll let you go. As you know, Oakmont Hills went into receivership and is now owned by the bank.
Who did? What? Which one?
Oakmont Hills, Mr. Bradford's development with the golf course.
Is that the
log cabins?
Executive
Timbers log. You know, remember, Executive Timbers came through.
Yeah.
Got rid of the hotel, added more log cabins, things like that.
Consequently, on 86,
where they were golf course.
Okay.
It's they're starting to run into some big issues out there and everything. So in case you hear about it, it is in the ownership of the bank. Their homeowner association doesn't appear to be up and running correctly. They're debating over who's going to run the sewer, who's going to run the water. There's all kind of issues, so I want you to be aware of that in case you hear. But that's what's going on. Any questions?
Mark has a comment.
Yes, I would like to go on the record and apologize for some of my comments that were made just in fun. It was a long meeting tonight, and also was at a commissioner's meeting this morning that was long, and so I probably played a little bit more than I would definitely normally. So I apologize for that. I wanted to be on the record for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Preston?
The decision with the 160 auto area that was had the room full this afternoon, I just wanted to also go on the record stating that in my job as Taney County Road and Bridge Administrator, I try to make a lot of my decisions based on this question, and it's helped me throughout my 30 years in public service, and that is, if I lived there, or if that was to happen in front of my house, what would I want? And for the fact that these people, that we've really messed up on the process here, really bothers me, so I don't expect a response. I just wanted everyone to know that my brain thinks one way, but my heart really feels for the people, and that's just what I want to comment.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Pennell.
Come to the mic, please.
Just what he wants.
The people on the internet.
It was a 2-1 vote in the commission this morning, and I lost. They sent me to take the stoning, so the rocks are outside. No, I was joking. Seriously, the gentleman, Mr. Major, I'm confident he was explained carefully how this emergency works, and I'm also confident that he was it was recommended that he visit with his neighbors because this night would be here.
Right.
And evidently he didn't visit with his neighbors. So, I guess that's really all I got to say. I did have some interesting conversation in the hall when you were talking with Bob. I'm sorry I missed that. And the form we have here, a little more humor maybe, has a place for three commissioners to sign. And Chuck Pennell's on the top. And then there's a blank one for Eastern District Commissioner. And then Western District Commissioner is conference call. The lady wanted to know why I signed it. Anyway, I explained.
And that's on this issue?
Yeah. Actually,
this was on the emergency.
Mr. Fran was here, and you were here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That morning.
I explained to her that generally the presiding commissioner, no matter who he is, is the only one that signs the document. And then she says, "Well, what about this?"
Well, that was a document that we put together so that we would have a written record, so we makes it easier to go back and to access the minutes for that particular meeting. Ever know which commissioner is going to sign it.
It doesn't. But I wish that, seriously, I wish the other commissioners were here because we voted on this, and as we can see, it wasn't a happy thing. And I don't know how many times we've done this, Bob, the emergency waiver.
I can come up with six or seven.
Well, have we done that many?
From 2003, yes, sir.
Chuck, okay. If we did, there should be a written record of that somewhere, right? I mean, I'm sure you voted on it, but I mean...
This was probably before Chuck's time, because this was back in...
No, no, he meant what happened on this paper.
I'm talking about this paper.
Yes, sir.
You voted on that?
Yes, we have.
Oh, yeah, we voted on
that. I can get
shouldn't there be written record of that somewhere?
Oh, yeah, there's our minutes shows it.
Well, okay, that's what
we would like to have.
I thought you were wanting the thing where they talked about...
No, thank you, Mr. Yo, I don't know.
Oh, no, this I can get. That's why we have...
Okay, that's all I'm thinking of. I'm really confused that that wasn't there.
No, that... Everything is documented.
Here in person.
But it's still a legal vote, unless it's an executive session.
And I will I will get you a copy of the minutes. That's not an issue. But I thought you were talking back in
No, I think they were asking about that, and I thought that was voted on.
And again, the topographical map of that area.
Yes, ma'am, I have
you
that
know,
down.
Who's on a hillside and who's not on a hillside? Tell
it would
me
be very hard for most
runs.
Of these people to get runoff from this particular project.
Well,
yeah.
Well, more runoff than already is there, correct? I mean,
concentrate.
You can't add to the runoff.
That is correct.
But it has to be at the same level or less, correct?
Yes. But I believe that does kind of run off down toward
the building step.
Yeah.
Well, that runoff across the road is there. It always has been.
Right. It has. And my understanding from MoDOT was that they did have to unplug the culvert. MoDOT did approve the culvert that went in there. They did approve the driveway. That's the reason I know when I stopped. That's what caught my attention. And at first I thought, well, I'll call Frank to see what's going on. And I thought, well, this is a state highway. It's not Frank's deal.
Well, that's why we rely on those people for that MoDOT, DNR. The water, the sewer, is for them to approve that stuff.
And as far as the retaining wall he has out there, that'll be up to the state if it's on them.
Right. Everything currently meets setback. We did go out and measure again because I was concerned that it might be a little close.
Yeah, I thought it was close.
But see, our requirement off of state highway is 50 feet for buildings.
Right.
Now, fences and stuff like that are, you know, normally a little different. We make everybody try to stay at least 50 feet off. Now, MoDOT doesn't require that. MoDOT only requires 25 feet. Right. It's in our code book. I don't know where it came from. It's always been there. That's what we enforce. And if they can't do that, they go to the BOA to get a variance on it.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
Hey, take the chance to find Susan and tell her, hey. If you haven't
Hi,
had that
Susan. Wasn't it fun? They're all like this.
Yeah. This was an easy night. Did you tell her this was
well,
an easy
night? This is more fun than my board meeting. So.
We used to have about 12 of them.
Yeah.
Back when they actually back.
Wow.
Sometimes we've been here.
I feel sorry for that. This is Hannah.
Hey, Bob.
She's going to say, by the time she's...
Sorry.